The next on the agenda is the WBAI General Manager's Report. Thank you. I'd like to welcome Bertolt Reimers, the General Manager of WBAI.
I've heard a lot of comments, a lot of, you know, zing and attack, but I'm going to try to have this report be very objective, and I'm not going to address, I'm going to try to address these comments to just reporting the facts and then talking about our vision.
And before Bertolt starts, he gave me a hard copy, which is being copied for all the board members, so you'll have a hard copy of the report also. Okay.
Okay.
Do we have both sides of the table?
I don't know. I gave it to the hotel, honestly. But yes, I will try to specify that if we have anything else copied. Thank you. Go ahead, Bertolt.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, members of the board, and welcome you to New York City. I hope you are enjoying our hospitality. If not, let me know. As you know, WBA has enjoyed some successes and as well as some challenges this past year. Our primary challenge has always been to meet our fixed cost of $250,000. That's not met, that's not near any cost, fixed cost anywhere in the network. Okay? Our fixed costs are, we pay rent, our rent's been increasing from like $30,000, $28,000. It's now at a net of $37,500 per month. The antenna is going for $48,000, $50,000, $52,000, depending on the month they give you retro electricity or whatever it is. And then we have $100,000 of payroll. So adding that to all of the miscellaneous expenses, we have a net fixed cost of $250,000. Every month. Okay. I'd like to add that all of our staff have doubled up on responsibilities because we have significantly and frequently cut up our staff up on national office requests and upon the fact that we could not meet all of our costs. We have made many cuts, more than anywhere else in the network. As a general manager, I have functions as a membership manager. I help in the business as a kind of a business manager in the finance, budget. I participate in premium fulfillment. I work closely with the program director and public affairs director in the planning of the fund drive and assist the operations director, which we did not have until recently, in managing the station. So you could basically say, wow, why doesn't he just delegate? Well, delegate to whom and to what? To the air? These are just a couple of examples of the functioning at WBAI, and I'm just using me as an example because the rest of the staff also is going through the same thing. Everyone is doing many tasks. We are multitasking. Up to May 2012, WBAI was holding its own. Yes, we are holding our own, and we are catching up on our debt, and we are basically, I think we are becoming one of the jewel of this station. We had so many projects going on, and a lot of people asking us for advice on different projects that I'm going to elaborate. What happened is, at that time, we had a change in our program director, and so that change did not go well. The transition did not help us well, and then since May to present, we have had a short net shortage of $550,000 in cash in our fundraising drive, which is equal to about four or five, represent about 5 months of rent, both rents, and 1 month of payroll. And then if that was done, we would not be in the situation we're in today. In addition to our fund drive shortcoming, Hurricane Sandy added immeasurably to our difficulties. You know, it cut, the fund drive was running at that time, was cut short, were dislodged from our location. Our telephone line up to now has not been restored, so we had to use an internet to get phone lines. And during our fund drive, we had to use different phone numbers. I think the importance of the solidarity among the network you know, has been highlighted by the fact that thanks to Summer and to all the station who decided to collaborate, that the network raised for us $200,000 to an emergency drive in one day, which is responsible for us still being functional right now. Our operations director has been diligently moving us now to 3 locations in less than 2 months, 2.5 months. Now, I come from corporate America. What I know, for example, when we have a project, we have a year and a half to 2 years of planning. We have consultants that come and sit all day long, you know, doing a business plan and a timeline and connecting, what projects affect other projects. So we're doing this in 2.5 months with no really well-seasoned staff, with no money, and the ultimate goal of this was to save money. So after doing some analysis, it would have cost us to pay a professional corporation close to $100,000 to $200,000 to move us to 3 different locations. We did it in about $15,000, and I must admit, announce right now, as I just spoke to my operations director, they're about finishing cleaning up 120 Wall Street, and we're living there for good right now. WBI's programming has remained at best static without a full-time program director. Many programs that are new or potentially terrific, like Barica's, RC4C, and so, and other programs that we've had, have not had technical and logistical support and have suffered from lack of attention because of lack of staff. The program director had to focus mostly on developing fundraising premium, and then they spend 2/3 of their time in fundraising. What we need in this network, we definitely need a permanent full-time fundraising organizer at all 5 stations. But again, you know, money is an issue. Okay. And yet, now I want to announce how WBI, in my judgment, has shined. You know, even though we talk about all the issues at WBI, all the lack of participation of producers, my feeling a bit, a lack of communication by staff and among staff and producer and management and so forth and so on, I'd like to talk about a few positive things that we are proud of at WBI. WBI's morning show, hosted by Esther Arman, was named the most valuable local radio station in the New York metropolitan area. This is big, by The Nation magazine. Quote, that after Superstorm Sandy, when Arman and her fellow hosts scrambled not to just keep the station on air, but to reveal the storm's hidden devastation, that's what local radio should do. And it's just one of the reasons that WBI, a Pacifica station briefly forced off the air by Sandy's flooding of Lower Manhattan, deserves support. Quote. An interview conducted by Fran Locke, producer of Joy of Resistance Multicultural Feminist Radio, first and third Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m., with Indian feminist Rita Banerjee, and which aired on WBI on December the 19th, has been picked up by WINGS, Women's International News Gathering Service, a much respected women's movement. Okay? Wake Up Call producer again, Esther Armour, received the Daniel Pearl Multimedia Award for Excellence in Journalism. Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg of Building Bridges. Production Out of the Flames, From the Ashes, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire and its Legacy, has won the Matt Doherty Gwen Wells Excellence in Broadcasting Media. Barbara Glickstein, a nurse, MPH, MS, co-producer and co-host of Health Styles, produced by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, was awarded a fellowship from Association of Healthcare Journalists to attend Health Journalism 2012, the 14th annual. There are like 500 other journalists invited to this conference. And host Z Starman of Astrology and Numerology Now was visited at WBI studio by the crew of NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams to do a segment, you know, and so forth and so on. I could go on and on, and these are all on our newsletter. We have so many of these things that I personally feel that we're not paying attention to, and we are focused solely on the negative part. the Apollo Theater felt that was so important that they invited us to have a host represent the progressive voice during the second Obama-Romney debate. And it was so successful that, you know, well, because of Hurricane Sandy, we've not been able to follow up. But they really wanted to establish a relationship with us that we have not established yet. Okay, so what does the future look like for WBAI? Well, we're fighting back, and we have instituted a few significant measures that could help us ensure our future over the long term. However, that would not help us on the immediate financial needs. First thing we did is we instituted the WBAI Buddy. It's called the BAI Buddy to generate more money and reduce on their fund drive days. We've cut the 9/11 fund drive day, for example. That day we just did the BAI Buddy, and then we're able to raise enough money that will generate enough money per year to never have the 9/11 day. A buddy is a recurring monthly donor who gets access and discounts. Our BAI Buddy system is generating over $12,000 a month of income that comes regularly. Now, I would have loved it to be $45,000 so we can be close to paying that antenna. But this project's momentum was cut short by Hurricane Sandy. You have to realize we do not have a phone. We have generated lists of hundreds of thousands of people who are no longer members that we're going to have our volunteers call, but we cannot call those people from a phone line that doesn't say WBAI. WBAI moved out of his list office at 120 Wall Street, thanks to Nia Bediako, and moving to City College. This is a very difficult move. We are all over the place. You know, Kathy, you know, you're at 120 at City College. We're at Vesey, the World Financial Center. I'm all over the place all the time on a cell phone. But we are saving $30,000 a month. I think we're making more sacrifice than anyone else I can know of in the network. But yet, we've held and continue to hold successful fundraising events. We presented two public book events, one with Professor Michio Kaku and the other with Chris Hedges, at the Landmark New York Ethical Culture Society, from which we grossed about $20,000 combined. We are also in the process of organizing a comedy night at a well-known comedy club. These events provide both income and build our physical presence and familiarity in the community. We clearly need to increase the number of such events, but as with other matters, we simply don't have the numbers of personnel available that we could afford to assign to such tasks in a sustained manner. Then we mounted our first annual art auction, which netted about $40,000, and we still possess about $50,000 of serious artwork that we actually just sold a piece for $1,500 last week. We are building on this silent art auction, and we are going to try to figure out how we can generate our regular monthly income to that since we learned the process by managing other art artists' art auction to WBAI. The foundation grants are scarce in the present fiscal environment. We managed to net about $35,000 in grant from 8 different foundations. That's excluding the CPB. In preparation for upcoming discretionary fund applications, we met with about 11 different members of the Progressive Caucus of this New York City Council. The council members are responsible for designating funds to not-for-profit groups in a amount ranging from, like, I think between $3 and $10 million in total. At the time of the Hurricane Sandy, this face-to-face relationship building meeting really made accessing the council members possible, and they were also able to call in on WBAI and give information to their areas and so forth and so on. We do believe that relationship is going to continue to be built, and then we're going to have access to the Progressive Council members, and to that also have access to the community, because the Progressive Council members have some area group activists that they connected to, and these are the people we want to have access to. We have expanded our wish into the line of sight of many New Yorkers by establishing partnership. We have partnered with so many organizations, 21 arts and community groups. We've partnered with Student Museum of Harlem, Hunger Action Network, the New York City Public Library, the Schomburg Center, the New Amsterdam Market, Oxflux, Goslov. We deliver, we lit 6th Street Community Center, and so forth and so on. And we're working on that. This is really Al 140 Arts. That relationship actually helped us secure a lot of meeting space for our WBI LSB. Many of these projects would not have been possible, though, or successful without our new and improved website that is garnering us new listeners and improved visibility. We hope that the rest of the network will eventually adopt the same or similar model, and we are willing to work with you to improve and implement what we have to do and have a unified, implemented web social media presence. I'm glad that Barika made some presentation and talked about kind of the younger, the so-called, quote-unquote, younger community and what they are doing out there. In fact, the WBI.org is probably our most notable success stories over the past year. Our new site was built from the ground up. Yes. It provides us from the minute to the minute high quality content to an underserved progressive market. There's a lot of things here. I'm not going to read them, but you have this in your report. Basically, what this website does right now is every night we have a 30 minutes WBI evening news. They have a segment in there where they post the news, and this is where I get my news because I'm always busy during the time the news is being broadcast. And thanks to the news department and Andrew Sears specifically, they take time out of their own life after their shift to post that in on the website. We have an art section. We have a public affairs section. It is very mobile. We have increased our hits, and we can actually give any one of you access to this website to post information. As a matter of fact, Linda Zeiss, who used to be a producer at BEI in Chicago, used to give her access to post art articles in the art section. So I really encourage you, and I believe that this is one of the most successful success stories. In the first 8 months since we launched the website, at the end of June 2012, the site experienced 1,063,240 pages viewed by 418,706 visitors, including 40.9% visitors that are new to WBI. The reason is because we have hooked it up with Google. So if you put Howard Zinn in Google, WBI may come up on the first page or like as one of the first top 10 items. We've had 5,986 visits from Canada, 5,000 from the UK, 2,000 from Germany, 1,300 from Brazil, and 862 from many different India and so forth and so on. Our online fundraising has improved considerably. As happy as we are with these early results, we are continuing to aggressively improve and expand on that. We are building up our archive so that it can be interactive, and then we can maybe think about how to do podcasts. We are working on our live players. We are working right now on a staff site. We are about to launch the next few weeks two similar self-managed sections for the local station board and the community advisory board. And we are also fortunate to have Mr. Alejandro Dron, the internationally acclaimed artist that gave us permission to publish his daily political comic. You know, I'm sure you've heard of Zohar. You can go on WBI website. There's us, you know, and get all those on a daily basis. Forums. That's basically it for me. Conclusion. We can no longer reduce fixed costs. Even though we've reduced the rent by $30,000, we still have a fixed cost of $220,000. You know, so there are talk of more staff cuts. I don't know where that's going to come from. You know, the bottom line here is that we have to increase revenue. But we still have $220,000 of fixed costs, which is much higher than anywhere else in the network still. We need a fund drive coordinator that works full-time, daily, weekly, monthly on this fund drive. I was listening to Bob Fass last night after the show and everything else, and some of the things that he said, you know, kind of were you know, I felt that I was attacked a bit on management and stuff like that. But after I listened carefully, I realized that when they asked him that if he had any issue with your Uber, at one point he says, well, I think he was right. Both sides were right. You know, so I kind of respect that that approach of him. You know, he was kicked out, handcuffed out of the station, but yet they understood that they both were right. It's just that the manner in which things were done, that they didn't sit to talk and communicate with each other. I'm talking to a few people who are trying. I'm trying to get to WBI to help us out, and one of them was a well-known producer. She told me that she doesn't think WBI Pacifica can be saved from within. We must be saved from outside. We have to convince the rest of the progressive community that used to give us money, the Alec Baldwin, all the rich progressive people who have all this money sitting there, that we are worth investing in, and we can be a counterculture to NPR, you know, even MSNBC. We have to be a little more to the left. By the way, MSNBC takes stories from our morning show on a regular basis to play on MSN to follow up on MSNBC. Conclusion. Our business model maybe needs to be changed and to be reevaluated. We've been talking about that for a long time, but it's about time now we go and try to raise money in other ways. I'd like our board to organize a gala every year, you know, a roasting of the media where we can charge, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a plate, just like Obama does. You know, those people don't give us money. So I'd like the board to do that. I would love to work with the board on that, but we do not have the person power, so the board is going to have to run with that, and then we can support you every which way you can. I'd like to say that with all these talk and issues and gossip, the organization that's supposed to be defending the workers the most is the WBI union, AFTRA union. Some has come to New York a few times. We've had a long conversation and debate with the union. They have not always been totally amicable because we have disagreed on stuff, but we have such a mutual respect for the union, and the union has such a mutual respect for us. The union is fully aware of everything that's happening at WBI, and we have taken steps to fix certain processes that were not done properly and cleanly, and we are doing them one at a time. And I don't want to put them on the spot, but you can always ask your union for a report on that.
Thank you, Bertolt. Yeah. We can take questions. No, don't go anywhere. I'll take questions from the board now. Okay, so I had Lizette King and then Tony Norman, and then I'll take... just stay at the microphone, Bertolt. Please. Go ahead, Lizette.
It's very interesting that this report follows... the community comment where there was some implication of lack of communication. Bertolt, I know you for a very over period of time, so I hope you don't take this as an attack. How, on what basis do you think people are saying that they're not getting information? Because one or two came up there and they said they don't know about these things. And it's important that we on the board know this because we're suffering a similar thing at PFW. What basis?
I'd like to answer that and also have the board members that are related to WBI to counteract what I said if I'm wrong, because that, I think that's important to have the other side, because you know I have a biased view. I do believe that I have communicated to the staff and to anyone else or to producers on a one-on-one basis or whatsoever more than any other management at WBI for the past 10 years, that I'm certain of that. I send regular emails out. I think the staff is a little demanding. Like, for example, we're in the middle of a move. I'm being honest. I think we're in the middle of the move. I sent an email out saying that this is the time frame. We've had two meetings before the move. I sent this is the time frame of what we are doing. Detail. The board, also LSB, was given a detail of what we were doing. Now, the staff wants me to give a daily or every 4 hours update on what's happening. Now, the problem is I'm in the middle of working. Like right now, yesterday, I was driving a U-Haul truck to the station and taking it to storage. I cannot give you a daily or hourly update on what's happening. First of all, because it's not practical. And second of all, because sometimes I do not know. You know, if I have a plan, I have a time frame, I have to depend on my interim operation manager, director, and I have to also depend on my engineer. And I also have to depend on all my staff affecting what they are supposed to do. Like, everyone is asked to box their offices, you know, and then if I see that's not happening, I ask a few of the volunteers dedicated to me to go help. But those, you know, those time frames shift. And, you know, for example, I came to a point where I was asked, oh, so when are we actually really moving to City College and out of WBI? Now, if I was a producer, I would be very frustrated because, you know, on a hour-to-hour basis, they're waiting to hear when are we moving, and then we're supposed to be moving. Now, I have my engineers and operations staff at City College testing the radio, I can't really tell you, so I have to tell you to be on the standby. Now, is it our fault, management? Of course, we were behind in implementation of the plan, and I take full responsibility for that, even though that might have to do with whomever didn't do what, you know. But we know that when you are moving, there's always a delay. So I ask for 15 more days in February from Silverstein, so that we could, you know, have a leeway to get this thing done. It should be a lot more. We only had 2.5 months to move, and so the staff gets frustrated, you know. But I have sent emails on a regular basis, like over every 2-3 days, about what's going on. I've communicated it to the state staff, public affairs director, my operations director. I've communicated clearly to the news department, you know, because they're right there, and because they ask me on a regular basis what to do. You know, the problem is, when do you start boxing and dismantling the equipment when you are moving and while you are at the same time broadcasting from the place you're supposed to be dismantling? Okay.
Thank you.
I was, a program director is no longer at WBAI, you know, so him and I, he's no longer at BAI. Go to a staff meeting. Staff demands to know what happened. Was he fired or did he leave or whatsoever? That's a personnel issue. I've never known anyone leaving a position to have been either fired, let go, or whatever. It's no one knows. You know, and I understand that affects the staff, but this is a relationship and a personal respect that the program director and I have had with each other to talk about what we saw, and we, you know, and then that's you can't.
If I may, I'd like to ask you to maybe limit the responses to 1 minute, just because there's several board members who raised their hands, and they may cover some of the same territory.
I'm sorry, but I think communication part is too.
Well, no, that was important. A very important thing, and some people may ask some of the same questions, but then they may not. Tony, no, I agree. It was raised, so it's important that you address it. Thank you. Okay.
Let me just say, as chairman of WPFW, I had an opportunity off and on to work with Berto, and he's one of the hardest working individuals I've seen in Pacifica. In fact, when I first met him, he was hauling up boxes on his back to the top floor physically, premiums or whatever they were. And when I see him, he's one of the people I get encouraged with. He's one of the bright lights in the Pacifica Network, regardless. In fact, even when I talk to some of his adversaries and enemies, they just love it, even the people that criticize it. But I wanted to say this, a more serious note, and I can ask questions about it offline. This business about people exaggerate crises and we have troubles at WPFW. Now, some people blow it up, you think the sky is falling, but it's not. But up here, I think this is a serious matter here in New York, while we're here in New York, about this antenna, because that affects all of us. And I wouldn't mind spending a 7-hour meeting discussing that. We, as Pacifica, need to solve this problem with this antenna and whatever it is. We need to do whatever we can to help this station out at WBAI. I'm willing to stay even longer if necessary. That this antenna issue, whatever the issue is, whatever money is needed, we need to take care of that and help this station and help you do that. to me, that's one of the important issues that we need to be discussing this weekend while we're here in New York. In fact, we should solve that before we even leave New York, this board. To me, that's a serious issue.
Thank you, Tony.
Want me to answer that?
If you want to.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for bringing that up. This was definitely the most this is the most important issue that we have discussed. As a matter of fact, when we receive all of the serving, you know, I think Kathy was in my office when we talked about this and in the process. I must also say that, you know, this is not the first time that, you know, from the time I took over 3 years ago, we were in a crisis mode. And my job was to stabilize this, and I thought I tried to stabilize it until May, and then this, and then we have this crisis. We get letters from attorneys about you know back rent and stuff like that. But this time the problem was that we did not have any money to step up and pay that. And what happened is when I called the Empire State Building to make a deal and send them a certified letter about a plan on what we were going to do, they still sent the letter. That letter, which is, it has something of, there was something, I don't know, not nice or nasty about the way it was done, because the agreement was, you know, we on the phone, we talked about this is the deal, this we send a check for 1 month and so forth and so on. This thing was taken seriously. The executive director was notified almost immediately. I spoke to my pit staff about it, and then it was not like a kind of something I was keeping as a secret, because I bought Mimi Rosenberg, who's a well-known real estate attorney, who is the one who helped me out, and I gave her a copy of the contract to look at. She's the one who referred us to attorney, Samuel Himmelstein, who is a great attorney, pro bono, free work. This is unbelievable that how that came on onto our lap. So thanks to Mimi, absolutely. And I say that many times over. When I was going to the attorney to sign a contract, since it was not a money contract, to accept his services, I faxed it to the executive director, and I still felt uncomfortable, and I brought Alex Steinberg, who was at the time LSB and national board member, with me to meet the guy. But at the LSB meeting and at our staff meeting, we talked about those, the fact that we're 4 months or 5 months behind and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. I don't think if I talked and mentioned all the details of whether or not the Empire State Building has commenced an action, I cannot tell you that I was specific about that. But, you know, people were fully aware of where we stood financially.
Thank you. I thought I saw Nancy and Lydia's hands go up. Was that a correct observation? But a while back, I couldn't tell if those were actually up hands or just thinking. I saw you, Janet, and then I saw Benito, and I saw Dan. That was the order I saw people in. So if you were not asking to be recognized down there, then I would go to Janet next. And that was Serene also next? Okay. So Janet, Benito, Dan, Serene.
Okay.
Nancy, did you raise your hand or did you not? Oh, I saw Lydia shaking her head, and I couldn't see you. Thank you, Nancy. I did see a hand go up there. I wasn't hallucinating that hand. Okay, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Have you been able to contact Yoko Ono?
Into the mic, please.
Hello? Yoko Ono, have you been able to contact her? Does she participate with your station, with our station?
Okay. Yoko Ono's son...
Julian?
Yeah, was involved in... was involved in a project with us very recently. But I must tell you that I don't have exactly those connections. Like, I think the thing that is important to emphasize is, you know, like the producers, you might be shocked. The radio station is really the producers, you know, programming. And the producers are the one who have those connections after so many years of being on the air and reaching out, you know, like Janet Coleman brings us Alec Baldwin to Bloomsday and so forth and so on. And we have other people who bring us so many other people, but that is their connection. There has not been a comprehensive move to harness that and to have, you know, a plan to reach out to those people or to ask them bluntly for money. So, because this is a very difficult and very, very specific skill that we at the station do not have and do not have the time to implement. So whether or not we hire an organization to do that or the national board takes this on, that's what we need. I'm going to be honest. At the station, we cannot do this. We can provide you with all the programming and all the things that we have done, and we can reach out to a few council members, just go to meet them. But we cannot actually implement those plans. We need help.
Thank you, Bertolt. Janet?
Yeah. I don't know if this is the right revolutionary leader, but it's the first one that comes to my mind because I went to grade school in the United States of America. But you are like George Washington here. You are the general of our very, very raggedy army. And we are decimated. We are, you know, poor. We have so few paid staff, and we have a lot of unpaid staff. And what I'm wondering here is, what kind of analysis did the managers do in putting together, in planning, the confluence of a move, a gigantic move to two places? You say three. I'm not sure what the third place is. Maybe it's the storage unit. Is that
storage? Vesey and City College.
Storage, Vesey Street, and City College. One way downtown, way uptown, and one, I don't know where it is.
Brooklyn.
One in Brooklyn. On Atlantic Avenue, I guess.
Atlantic Avenue, yeah.
So now we have these enormous moves in three places. We have simultaneously a PMB meeting. We have simultaneously a fund drive, which is announced almost at the same time as the move, as well as the severing ties with the new PD, as well as a new call center. Now, I mean, I'm here representing the staff, and I feel extremely emotional about it because I know that we are anxious. There is no one more devoted to WBAI than the unpaid staff, except for the paid staff that's working, you know, I don't know, untold hours, round the clock. They're exhausted, I know that. But how did you analyze that, and how did you figure that we could understand without your constant, actually, communication, since we don't really have a communication. In fact, very recently, we all got an email from the interim development director. She said she had a personal tragedy in the family, and the reason she wasn't able to find out about it was because we had irritated her so much with so many phone calls, queries, and, you know, and questions for her, that she had stopped answering her cell phone and therefore didn't find out about the tragedy in her family to please basically never call her again. Now, how was this laid out so that we could follow? You know what I mean? We're not trying to get the door locked behind us at the new station. Yeah. We're there. We take the schlep. Whatever it is, we want to know how to make it work to raise money for WBAI, even in all of this.
Thank you, Janet.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out that way.
Before you respond, Bertolt, just to be clear with everyone, we're quite over time on this part. I want you to be able to answer everyone's questions, so go ahead and respond to Janet, but
I'm going to try to lay out the plan very quickly. So basically the plan was to first move the staff out of 120 Wall Street into Vesey. So that would have been done earlier, so that would have alleviated the idea of moving in three different places. Once that was done, and then at that point we would have established Studio 3 at Vesey, and then so we could have started dismantling Studio 3. Then the second thing was for the staff, I received a few emails, to pack and to box and to trash a lot of things that needed to be trashed. And so to box the stuff, and we had some dates where we would take stuff to the storage. Let me explain that. We have three rooms of storage that are approximately the side from here to here over here that are full with stuff. One of them is full totally with equipment. Another one is full with equipment and other important material, and the other one is full with premium and other miscellaneous stuff and a console. We took the main console. Now, I must tell you personally that my operations director had some could not drive in New York City. So they could not drive in New York City. So therefore, I had to basically rent a U-Haul, and we also had a lot of volunteers who volunteered to help, but we could not get them to take the responsibility of doing that. So we've had at least 6 or 7 trips of a 17-footer U-Haul full of stuff being moved. So just think about that, including that at 120 Wall Street, we can only start moving at 6 o'clock at night. So every time you fill out a U-Haul, you have to park it, wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, drive it to the storage place because they close at 7. So you're losing a whole lot of time. Then the other part of the plan was to have secured Verizon line, T1 line, or whatever, all those lines at City College. And because of their lawyer reviewing contracts, that was delayed. But we still put the call to Verizon. And Verizon is very under staff right now.
Bertel, excuse me, if I may. I know, Janet, and I realize you need to get things answered at the local level.
It's a little too detailed, really. Yeah, it's just everything.
And we've got like 5 more people that have questions.
Yeah. You want an answer, you get an answer.
Yes, he's trying to answer your question thoroughly. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I don't want him to take time out to write a novel.
I have actually a suggestion for time efficiency. Why don't we, Bertel, if you could just sort of keep track, like make some little bullet notes. Let me let the rest of the members ask their questions. Maybe there's some crossover, and then you could answer the remainder all at once, and that way we could finish up. All right? Thank you. Benito, then Dan, then Serene, and then Brian. And is there anyone over here that wanted to ask a question? Manage, did I see your hand before?
No.
Okay. So Benito, Dan, Serene, Brian, and Teresa. And then perhaps we'll be done and Bertel can wrap up because we have the LSB chair waiting as well and the archives before we're done for the open session. Go ahead, Benito, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Before I ask my question, I just want to make clear my objection, very severe objection to the belittling of the concerns expressed by the listeners and programmers of BAI by the former chair of the PFW LSB, Mr. Tony Norman. This is exactly the same thing he does.
Excuse me.
That's what I'm getting ready to.
Okay, thank you. As long as you're getting to a question for the manager. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Benito.
But I just, I want to ask my question, but I just can't let that go because this is exactly what he does time and again at every LSB meeting and every time he gets a chance.
Please. Everyone's going to point of order this. We're going to devolve into chaos. If we could please direct a question to Bertel. Thank you.
Well, my question is to Bertel. So my question is, to what extent have the problems, the financial problems of Pacifica, hampered the move of BAI to not one but to 3 different places? Because I'm just marveled. Because at PFW, we are constantly told by management and the apologists for management that the problem of PFW finding a place is Pacifica's financial problems. But it finally dawned on me, I've been hearing since yesterday, that BAI has just moved to 3 locations, despite Pacifica's problems. So what kind of magic, did you all conjure up?
Okay, thank you. Dan Siegel.
Well, it's the irony here, and I don't say this in a malicious way, is that the hurricane finally forced some economizing that all the arguments and politics for years have not been able to accomplish. And maybe that's a conversation for the whole board. It's not really Berthold's problem. But, you know, just so I'm clear, the new program director is gone, so there's not a program director, is that? Okay. Just, all right. So, but I want to address the overall budgetary and facility issue. And, you know, my views have been widely discussed in campaigns for the LSB and everywhere else, but not quite accurately, okay? What I would like to know, and this is not, I'm not making a motion, okay? I'm asking a question. What are we doing to rethink WBAI as a station? I mean, again, it's not a criticism to say that the listenership is not what we would like, okay? And that's obviously one issue that needs to be discussed. But it's also not a criticism to say that there are these huge fixed costs. And the question is, are the fixed costs necessary and justifiable given the state of the listenership? You know, one question I've asked many times is it necessary to broadcast from the Empire State Building?
Yes.
And, okay. Okay, well, that's an answer. So here's my question. If I could be a little bit more specific. Does every radio station in the New York City metropolitan area broadcast from the Empire State Building? Okay, please.
Okay, audience, it's okay. It's okay. Some are asking questions. Okay.
So listen. I mean, I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to inflame.
Please, everyone, be respectful.
I'm not trying to inflame the conversation. I'm simply asking a question. If there are other locations that are substantially cheaper, to what extent does that cut the signal? In other words, if we cut the cost by three quarters, would we cut the signal by three quarters, or would we cut the signal by? I don't even know who this person is, but I wish you would stop.
Sir, members of the audience, please. And Dan, some of the questions you're asking that are technical, he obviously won't necessarily be able to answer right now. They're totally legitimate, and we can get feedback on
right.
Okay. Yeah, of course. No, I'm asking the audience to please allow me to finish.
I'm hopefully this isn't seen as an attack. Is there a way to rethink some of these issues? Can we cut our fixed costs substantially? Understanding there's some sacrifice involved, but where the sacrifice in terms of the strength of the signal is not that great. And could we then, you know, have the same listenership or almost the same listenership? And then the other thing, the other part of the fixed cost, obviously, is the space. Someone can help me because I lose track of the dates, but the last time we had a presentation on space by BAI, we had slide projections and build outs, and you know, it was beautiful, but it doesn't seem to have happened. And again, that's not a criticism, but are there options being discussed?
Yeah.
If the station was in Brooklyn or Queens or the Bronx or even in Newark, right? I mean, would that destroy the ability of BAI to be BAI? Or would it still be the same station, but cheaper? And so those are the kinds of questions I'd at least like to see addressed and discussed, and hopefully without attacks or whatever.
Thank you, Dan. And I think Berthold can maybe answer some of that in open session, and I can probably elaborate further for this board in closed session if we have sufficient time to discuss these matters. Serene Roberts, please. Everyone, we're kind of over schedule, and we do also have the LSB chair waiting and the director of the archives, so I'd like to go ahead and finish with the questions, allow Berthold to answer them, and go to the next portion on the agenda. Serene Roberts. Thank you.
Oops. I just want to point out that Dan unscrewed this thing from the face.
Chrome off!
Okay, so I have a few questions. Do I get extra minutes if I answer the questions that other people ask Berthold?
I'm sorry?
Never mind. Teresa got a sense of humor.
Yeah, so I caught it after the fact there, sorry.
Okay, so I want to say for the record that I absolutely love Berthold's wife. She's great. She's awesome. Okay, so I have a few questions. Whether that $200,000 that was raised around the network actually made it into BAI's coffers, whether you have or plan to acknowledge that when the motion was brought in August saying we need to move as soon as possible, let's get serious and explore moving to a lower cost place, and instead of supporting it, you and the board majority, in fact, voted it, well, you didn't get a chance to vote. They voted it down. You spoke against it. People went on the air and called the rest of us fools for suggesting it, and lo and behold, not only has it come to pass, but we facilitated it. Thank you, Nia. So I'm wondering whether you were considering reversing, acknowledging that you were perhaps incorrect in your position on that. With regard to the BAI Buddy program, which, you know, is essentially the electronic funds transfer program that we've always had, I think, you know, maybe giving it a new nickname might have been the thing, because we've always said, you know, in fact, I remember Bernard White saying for us for a long time, give BAI a regular allowance, which is essentially what this is, and everyone's pushing it. Every public radio station in the nation is pushing it. It's a great idea. The new name. Who knew? With regard to the whole thing about partnership and this being brand new, I guess, you know, there's this Jamaican tune where they say it's a brand new second hand. Okay. Because, you know, these ideas are, in fact, not new. Some of the names, such as the Studio Museum, these are longstanding relationships that were put in place by previous administrations. So I think it's great. I know that unpaid people not only are unpaid, but it costs them to do their programs. I know paid people are underpaid, and I'd like us to have a conversation at this board level, but also at each LSB, about the staff, paid staff contracts, whether people are getting their COLAs when they're supposed to, whether they're getting their seniority wages when they're supposed to, whether, in fact, people who do fill-in works for paid people are, in fact, getting what is union minimum, and it is called union minimum for a reason. So Pacifica labor shows, you know, that I think Heather was talking earlier about doing some labor shows and so forth, and how great it is that we can host this as a network with our affiliates and so on and so forth. It'd be really good if we could honor our staff contracts and stop breaking unions, stop busting unions around the network. And I'd also hope that we have a conversation about Jackson, Lewis, and other corporations with whom we should really have no contact, in my view. Because I'd like him to tell me what's happening with the paid staff. Absolutely. What's happening with the staff contracts, both paid and unpaid, here at BAI. With regard to the website, and I know the development director's brother became our website person. I don't remember any job posting and so forth. So when we talk staff contracts, we can't maybe discuss every detail, but are we, in fact, posting jobs publicly? You mentioned wanting to get healing from the outside or cures from the outside, and that's great. It's not about trying to see, because really, too many of us know each other too well, perhaps, and unless Dina is going to come to every single meeting of every single board around the network, talking to each other alone isn't necessarily going to solve the problem. Sometimes you do need to step back and get a different view. But where there are processes set up for getting people in and getting people paid, those jobs need to be posted properly. So I'd like to hear how you've been handling that at BAI. I know it hasn't happened in several years. And with regard to...
If you can wrap up your last questions, please. I think we have two more people.
This is absolutely my last question.
Thank you.
So if we can talk again about the union and about whether anything has happened. anything has happened is considered to be an unfair labor practice. And for the record, Summer, if we could get a list of all the grievances that are in existence before the weekend, that would be great at all the stations, all the unsolved, unresolved staff grievances.
Certainly, along with the ratified union contracts since I got here.
Absolutely. Electronically, thanks. I can only handle so much paper in my house.
Yes, because of course thank you. Is that your last question? Brian Edwards Teeker and then Teresa Allen, and then we are done. And Bertolt, if you can try to concisely answer. I do not expect you to write a book. Do the best to answer, and then we'll go on to the station board chair.
I just wanted to get specific on the transmitter situation. I wanted to know what's the earliest date by which WBAI could be forced out of the Empire State Building, and is there any contingency plan in place to keep the station on the air in that eventuality? Do you have a fallback location? That's all.
Thank you, Teresa Allen.
I want to know, when you're listening to the radio, some of the programs that you listen to, and what's giving you hope in this period?
Thank you. Okay, that's the last person with a question. Thank you. And Bertolt, I'll allow you to go ahead and respond. Just, yeah, work your way through the questions and just, you know, as concisely as possible. Thank you.
I don't communicate. I'm trying to communicate to you.
You can't make it up for it all at once here.
As far as the Benito WPFW move, how magic. Dan kind of answered that a bit. He said Hurricane has something to do with it. But also the fact that, well, Hurricane had a lot to do with it because we found a free space at the World Financial Center because what happened is they're giving free spaces to a not-for-profit organization to look good, whatever. So we share that floor with a whole bunch of progressive organizations. And so that moving the staff over, being able to move the staff over there made it easy now for us to focus solely on where do we move the station? And I was lucky enough to we visited a few spaces, MNN and that kind of stuff. Their logistics didn't work, and City College was referred to me by Nia Bediako, and I followed up on that immediately. I went to lunch with the lady, and then she kind of took a liking to me and BAI, and then she's a BAI listener. And she was ready to put us up, so we kind of worked it out in how we're going to sell that situation to City College. And so we came up with a price, and City College accepted. The third location is storage, so that doesn't count. Dan Siegel, we thank BAI as a station. Absolutely, that's what we've been trying to do all the time. You see, Barica was here, a producer, younger producer, talking about how we're going to use the internet, the website, Twitter, and so forth and so on, how we're going to reach out to the New York community. The problem we're having here, and I'm going to say that out clearly, is in the 70s and 80s, it was fashionable to be unemployed and then to hang out and support, come to BAI and support. Nowadays, our producers, even though I complain about them not participating, they have to work 2-3 jobs to maintain, to keep a living. So it's very hard to find volunteers. So we're trying to get interns and volunteers who come for every 3 months or whatever, or so forth and so on. It's hard to maintain that and to keep continuity. But this is the way we have to reinvent WBA. I keep on having interns, Twitter, and all those stuff, and try to and the website. I think the whole network has to get behind that, and then it has to be no longer WBA website, but it has to become the network website throughout the 5 station and the national website. And then we have to really go and do some serious work on the archives. That's the only way we're going to survive. Fixed costs. I've spoken to the CEO of WBGO's jazz station in New Jersey. They had the same issue. They went and built a tower in New Jersey. They had issues with interference, so they had to go now and build another tower in Brooklyn. So mm-hmm. They're building towers, and there are issues of technical issues. I think only John Amele can answer. This is the first question I asked the first day I took the job, and I asked John, can't we build a whole bunch of towers all over New York City and eventually pay the lease or the rent, the mortgage? It's more complicated than that. Other costs, there are no other fixed costs that really can go down. The Empire State Building, you know, this is, that's like a highway robbery. I do believe that all those towers should be owned by the government because they are the people's, the radio, the air is the people's voice, and then no one should be paying that kind of money. Always going to put not-for-profit organization at a disadvantage compared to commercial radio stations. And now, of course, I'm open to all options. As you can see, I went to City College, whatever came up. I was looking at a place in Staten Island. Somebody wanted to shoot me for that. Whatever it took to, you know, the place at Staten Island was really a huge place, and then we could have rented it, and we could have had parties and stuff like that. No, it was right on top of the mountain. I even took my executive director to visit.
But we looked at some other buildings too.
We looked at a whole bunch of other buildings, and we're still looking. Some things we cannot say here. $200,000, Serene. $200,000.
She wanted to know if WBI derived the benefit of the money we raised for you.
Oh yes.
Or.
Basically, that paid some of our one of our back rent, and then it also paid
payroll.
Some of payroll. You know, the move acknowledging. I don't think I ever made fun of the move. I thought that we could have more time at 120 Wall Street to just move into a building that we buy as opposed to this, because we're going to do this again. And I really do not really want to do what I just did again. I really do not. So that was really the point. How do we get enough money, enough donation, or donated site so that we can move? So, you know, so I had no specific technical, I wasn't totally against that. I was against the idea of having to move without having to move to buy a building. I'm from the West Indian. I believe in buying your property. The Caribbean. BI buddy, new name, whatever. We tried that the first time I started as a manager of WBI. It did not work because we didn't have the website. You know, our air is a very emotional thing that we're telling people to join. And when you're asking people to join, you have to send them a letter to sign to a consent to give to taking money from their checking account or their credit card account. 80% of those people do not follow up and send it back. So, but if you go on the air or if they call and you take that information, you plug it in right away, you have your buddy. Yeah. It's an impulse. Partnership, I guess that must have fallen to the crack. You know, we haven't had a development director in, I don't know, 10 years, whatever how many years that was. I think that's a very important position to have. Seniority, yes, we've calculated and paid the seniority, and we have respected that. Union minimum, yes, we have that also. Also, normalizing jobs, I've had a long conversation with the union on a regular basis to, for example, long-term consultants like the morning show host and stuff like that, that it's a lot of the things that were done before my time. We are trying to normalize this and also talking to the staff. I'm talking, you know, very close relationship with Jose Santiago, the union rep, and Michael G. Haskins and Sean, the union guy, to see how we can normalize this without bankrupting WBI, because some of those people deserve this thing. Well, those people who do not have them deserve them. As far as the amount of money that our staff is being paid, I get anybody quoting me that I complain regularly that you know, we are a sweatshop. Not because we want to, because we don't have a choice. We cannot afford to raise the salary of the people, you know. And in New York City, even somebody making $40,000 a year or less is basically almost going homeless. Rent here is $1,200 to $1,500 for one bedroom, very far away from center town. And I say that clearly to the union rep, from the main union. I tell him that regularly, that I'm, you know, I don't hesitate to talk about that. Grievances, We can discuss that in executive session. There are grievances because I do take some actions. We do stuff that I need to be done because, after all, I'm also management and I have to manage, and sometimes I have to step my foot down. And there has to be a delicate balance between creativity and management. Management has to have some leeway to manage. And as Bob Fast had mentioned, that it's very difficult balance at WBAI. Other places, you know, corporate America is very easy. It's a very delicate balance, and it's never going to be, you know, smooth sailing. There's always going to be tension because I feel that I should have more leeway to make to take decision, and then the staff feel that they should be in all decisions and all, and some of them are personal action. I'm willing to take those on because I do believe that this, you know, that's we're not going to be able to function that way. Antenna, Brian Tickert. I guess I answered one of those questions as far as. You mentioned about the antenna. When do we have up to when? Or what time do we have to deal with the antenna situation? I think it's the third week of March. Okay. To pay that outstanding debt, and our lawyer's been negotiating that very forcefully and tactfully, talking to Summer on a regular basis, probably more than talking to me right now. And contingency plan, no, I don't have any, unfortunately. The contingency plan is any money from this fund drive would be going towards that. And then, but what's happening at this moment, the fund drive is not doing as well as we would like it to, and so we are working with the national office to get a few fund drive coordinators, a good pitcher, Kristen Blasdale from LA, to come back to New York and to pitch to see what happens.
That answers my question. I just want to clarify, if you pay up before that date, you can stay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before you go too much into anything, I'm happy to update this board in closed session as to what all the negotiations are that are occurring with our attorneys on both the tower and the office space. So. Teresa's question. She had a positive question. What keeps you going, and what gives you hope?
What shows does he watch?
And what shows do you listen to? What do you?
Somebody told me you don't listen to the radio, Bertelt. Is that true? Can you not get any work done when you're listening to the radio?
When I'm working, microphone.
When I'm at the station, which is usually around 9:30 or whatever, 10 to
till 10.
2 o'clock in the morning, depending on the day. It's very difficult to listen because you're always in the middle of something and then people are coming in and out all day and working on a spreadsheet. However, in the morning, early in the morning, I listen to Wake Up Call and I listen to all those shows, Wake Up Call, and then the so-called California shows, Ian Masters, Teokus and Ghost Horse and stuff like that. I try to listen to Hugh Hamilton, the Talk Back, but it's very difficult to do that, you know. But these are the shows that I listen, glimpse of them, and or when I'm walking to the station, I see different guests that they have, you know, that are amazing. And when I get all those emails from producers talking about what they have accomplished, you know, I rush to post it to the staff announce. I didn't mention that Janet Coleman has had a few accomplishments also in the arts, theater. And there's so much more. It's, you know, if you look at our newsletter, you click on them and you'll see all the things that have been done at BAI. What keeps me going is we have interns. We had an intern, Emily Geller, that came to volunteer from Brown University, one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. She was doing from phone call calling angry listeners to picking up whatever, you know, all the vile work at the station. Then we assigned her to the morning show on Friday to Felipe Luciano. She's got on the air. She went back to work in school. She was able to get a lot of job, you know, working at TV stations and so forth based on her experience at WBAI. She comes back to WBAI every time she's on a break to volunteer because she says she misses it so much compared to what she's doing. She's over there at Brown. She's still working on the morning show and doing stuff for the morning show. Our interns and the volunteers are our future. If we could close the gap and find a way to connect them to the producers and not get the producers to feel threatened and or you know, or maybe management has to communicate better, which is difficult when we're busy working with the interns and all that stuff. They, you know, if we could make that connection and have the our staff, you know, train those interns and volunteers and give them the wisdom and expertise that they have, I think those people are going to go out there and come at BAI. That is what excites me.
Thank you so much, Bertolt. We appreciate your report and answering everyone's questions.